good money, and good money, the giver of all life.
So what does it mean that the Holy Spirit is the giver of all life? That's the question for today. And yes, we are here to sit at the feet of Jesus. So let's sit at his feet together.
Remember what Jesus said. I am the what? Light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He said again, I am the resurrection and the life. Devil comes to kill and destroy. I come to give life. 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 What is life? Thank you. There are two dimensions to life. That's our message today. Let's start by a proof text, the book of Job, chapter 33, from verse 4. Let's go to the scriptures.
Job 33, from verse 4.
Thank you.
The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Mm. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am as your spokesman before God. Mm. I also have been formed out of clay.
Say it again.
I also have been formed out of clay.
I also have been formed out of clay. Let me take it one by one. Verse 4 said, the Spirit of the Lord has made me. Mm-hmm. And the breath of the Almighty has given me life. Let's take that word step by step. The Spirit of the Lord has made me. I mean, Holy Ghost is a creator. His power is the creative power of God, is the power of Holy Spirit. But the creative essence is the Word of God. God spoke, the Spirit came into action, and reality comes. It's somebody like that. Let there be light, and there were light. Let there be salvation. Holy Ghost come, salvation come. When God say, let there be light, the power of the Holy Ghost come to bring that light into reality. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void, emptiness. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He was there, ready for what? For the Word. When the Word comes, the Spirit gets into action. That's why we need two, the Word and the Spirit. Now we say, the Spirit of God has created, has made me. And the breath of the Almighty has given me life. The Holy Spirit is the giver of life. That's what Job said.
It means that before the Holy Spirit gave life, we're not truly alive.
Now, which life are we talking about? There are two dimensions to life. Natural life and spiritual life. Verse 6 says, you form me out of clay. Means the two nature of human beings are clearly stated in the book of Job. Spiritual life and physical life. What is clay? The body. Okay, let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, right from the beginning. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. Let's go back to the beginning to see what happened. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7.
Genesis 2 from verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
This is exactly what...
And man became a living being.
We are going to back again. This is exactly what Job say. God made me and the Spirit gave me life. Proof, read it again. Genesis 2:7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground.
Good. I mean, God formed my body out of the dust. This is the body, you say. Come from the dust. Go back to dust. And
breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
And breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Mean the Spirit of God give us the breath of life. What is that life we are talking about? Spiritual life and natural life. And man became what?
A living being.
Why the scripture did not say man became a being? It just say a living being. If you are say you are a being, mean you have life. But a living being, not just a being, a living being. This is the key to what we need to understand.
Does that mean you can exist as a human being but not be truly alive?
This simply means you can live in the natural, but dead to the spirit.
So that means you're not really living.
Mean you're only living in the body. We call it dead living. Jesus called it dead living. If you go to Luke chapter 20, verse 38, Jesus said, God is not the God of the dead. Mm. But let's go to Luke chapter 20, verse 38. We need to understand what the Bible says so we can treasure and value the Holy Spirit in our lives.
For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all live to him.
Who are the dead? Who are the living? That's what Jesus said. Who are the dead? Who are the dead? Who are the living? Mean somebody can be dead living, mean living in the flesh, but dead in the spirit. Mm. That's what God did not want when he warned Adam, don't touch this fruit. If you eat it, you will die. Mm. Not that he will die physically, but he will die spiritually. We have spiritual death and natural death. What's the meaning of that? When Adam was created, the Spirit of God was with him. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8.
Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
I mean, God chose to visit man in the garden for fellowship. God visited man for fellowship. It's God that's looking for us. God delights in hearing our prayers, in fellowshipping with us. We do not choose God. God chose us. And God came in the garden, Genesis 3, verse 8, to speak to his friends. Where's his friends? Adam and Eve. What happened? What happened when God came?
Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you?
Where are you?
So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.
I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, it is man who ran away from God, not God who ran away from man. He said, I'm naked. What happens there? The moment Adam chose to disobey God, sin came. And when sin comes, it brings separation. It breaks the fellowship. It breaks the communion. I mean, without the Spirit of God, there's no fellowship in the Spirit with God. Because God is Spirit. Since the Spirit of God is the giver of all life, we're going to see what's the meaning of that life. We call it the breath of the Almighty. Means without the Holy Spirit, you cannot relate with God. We cannot hear from God. We cannot talk to God. We cannot have any relationship with him. Without the Spirit of God, we become carnally minded. Without the Spirit of God, no life, no spiritual life. Man without the Spirit is a carnally minded man, doesn't have the life of God. That life is the one the Spirit of God produces in us. He's the giver of all life. When the Holy Ghost comes into our heart, he breathes given life. What is life? What is breath, Ruth? What is breath? Breathe. What's the meaning of breathing? To breathe.
You take oxygen in.
Mean? Inspiration. Expression. Inspiration. Expression. Mean?
Inhale and exhale.
I inhale and I exhale. Intake. I take in the life of God. Mm. And I give up the life of God. What does it mean? Mean? Inspiration and expression. This means the Spirit of God gives us inspiration when the Word of God comes into our heart. He reveals revelation. And whenever we're speaking, talking, led by the Spirit, our words have life. Mm. We take in the life of Christ and we give out the life of Christ. When Jesus speaks, life flows. Holy Ghost gives us inspiration, revelation from God, and he gives us utterances, words to speak. Which word? Not words of a carnal mind, words of a spiritual man. These words are spirit and they are life. Mean, anytime a man of God who has the Spirit is speaking, the word enters the heart and produces life. No Holy Spirit, no life. The word is called the sword of the Spirit. When it comes upon you, your life changes. The way you speak change. Man has capacity to speak, but Holy Ghost speaks according to the will of God, words of life that enter the heart straight. That's why when the Spirit of God speaks, result will come. When he speaks, salvation comes. When he speaks, deliverance comes. When he speaks, healing comes. Why Jesus asked the disciple to tarry in Jerusalem? Why?
To wait for the Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Why? Because The Holy Spirit is the only one that can give life. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. The Holy Spirit is the giver of all life. We're going to explain why all life.
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God.
Our sufficiency, our ability is from God.
Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes, the sense of righteousness comes. With the sense of righteousness, you will pray as Jesus would have prayed. The Holy Ghost will give you the words of life. You will do things as Christ would have done. That's why Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater than these, because I'm going to the Father. Why? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. When he went to heaven, he sent back the Holy Ghost to his disciples to make them effective soul winners. The first day the Spirit of God came in Pentecost, Peter spoke. 3,000 people came to salvation. The word cut their heart to pieces, because Peter was not speaking ordinary words, words of life that came through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of God speaking through them, the breath of the Almighty. Now let's go back to Job to break down this message. Job 33, we'll start again from verse 4, and we explain what is the giving of life from the Spirit.
Job 33 from verse 4, the Spirit of God has made me and the breath of the Almighty gives me life.
When you say give me life, means you are moved by the very life of Christ. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Mean the Spirit will move you to speak. He will move you to pray. He will move you to hear and to act of faith. He's the one that gives you strength. He will give you inspiration to know the mind of God. He will give you capacity, ability to do things in the way Jesus would have done. That's why Paul says, our sufficiency is from God. Now, after he gives you life, what is the manifestation of that life? That is the key. How do you know this person has life? How do you know this person doesn't have life? When Jesus began to speak, they say, John chapter 7, 46, no man has spoken like this one. He speaks with authority and power.
It was the expression that came out of him.
Absolutely.
Which confirmed the life within him.
Yes. Now, let's go back to Job chapter 33 from verse 14. When the Holy Ghost comes in us, he will begin to manifest the life, the divine life, eternal life, the life of Christ in us. The life of a truly born again. You continue? Yes?
For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it.
Thank you. God may speak to you and I in one way or another, but man does not perceive it. Many are saying, God, does God exist? What's happening? I don't hear from God. The issue is not God. The issue is the man. God speaks to us, but spiritual death is working in our spirit. What does it mean, death, spiritual death? Spiritual death means there is no relationship. The conscious of the person is dead. When the conscious is dead, you are in darkness. You can't hear, you can't see, you can't receive nothing from the Spirit of God. So the natural man is led by his mind, but have no relationship with God anymore, in spirit and in truth. When the Holy Ghost comes, fellowship comes in the spirit. Relationship comes in the spirit, because the Spirit will enable you to hear from God. What happened when Adam sinned and fell?
Relationship was broken. The lifeline was cut off.
No. What God said, keep this page and read Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. What God said about human beings after the fall.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever.
My spirit shall not strive with man forever. What's the meaning of this? The Holy Spirit is our helper when it comes to spiritual thing. He will tell you, don't do this, don't do this. In our heart, if we are honest with ourselves, there are many bad decisions we took and we suffer today. But some people are telling you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. We don't listen. something is prompting your heart. Your heart is disturbed to refrain us, but we don't listen to that voice. Mm. I mean, the Spirit strive. Help us not to commit sin. Help us not to take bad decision. That He cannot force us. He can only point us away. If you don't hear His voice, how can we obey Him? That's the key. My spirit shall not always strive with man, God said. And what happened?
For he is indeed flesh.
Man has become flesh. Man has become only a being, not living being. Man has become carnal, no longer spiritual. That's what God said.
So the living is removed from the being when the Holy Spirit is gone.
That is it. There's no life. We live in the flesh, not in the spirit. Read it again.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years.
God, this is the first time that God limited the life of human beings. In the beginning, you can see people living 900 years, 960. But God said, man has become flesh and his days will be 120. That showed the eternal life wasn't there because Adam refused to take the tree of eternal life and choose the tree that brought death. Man become carnal. That's what happened. And that's not the man God wanted. The man God created to his image and likeness is the man who's led by the Spirit, who have the sense of righteousness, who led by the Spirit of life. Mm. That's the man God wanted to have. To fellowship with God, to live in tune with God, to be able to walk in righteousness in this earth. Mm. Now, Job chapter 33, verse 14, we've just read. Read again.
For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night.
In a dream? Who gives you a dream?
Deep sleep falls upon men.
And vision.
While slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction.
Thank you. This is the work of Holy Ghost. He opened what?
The ears of men. And seals their instruction.
Now, Holy Ghost, open our spiritual eyes. Holy Ghost, open our spiritual ears. He opened our spiritual eyes to see vision from God. He opened our spiritual ears to hear the inner voice, the instruction from God. When you see vision from God, you hear from God. Eyes that can see, ears that can hear, a heart that can understand. So, I repeat, the eyes must be open to see vision. The ears must be open to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost when He gives you the meaning. And your heart must be open to understanding. These are the three keys. Holy Spirit will give you revelation. He will give you the understanding, interpretation. And then He will give you understanding. And then you become spiritual. That's the spiritual person. Now, let me show you how Holy Ghost can help us to see what we cannot see. How can He help us to hear what we cannot hear? Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. Just an example. Verse 31. Numbers 22, verse 31.
Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me.
I will tell you the power of the Holy Spirit. Balaam was a false prophet. Balaam was a witch doctor. He was not a prophet of God. So he went to curse the people of Israel. And God sent an angel to stop him. Now, the false prophet, if he's a prophet, should be able to see in the spirit. But now, his donkey. The donkey saw the angel, but the prophet could not see the angel. The donkey saw the angel and stopped and pushed the man. I said, why are you pushing me? What happened there? Number 22, verse 28. See what the Holy Ghost did there. Something special again.
Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?
The Holy Spirit opened the mouth of a donkey, and the donkey began to speak the language of human beings. That's the power of God. He can open your eyes to see vision. If your eyes of faith are not opened, you will not see the angels around you. He opened the eyes of Balaam and saw the angel standing with a sword. which the donkey has seen already. Because God has opened the eyes of the donkey to see the angel. And now God opened the eyes of the donkey to speak words that the false prophet could not speak. We need to understand the Holy Ghost open our eyes so we can see visions and revelation in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we are spiritual, we should be able to have visions and revelation from God. If we are carnal, we only go by what we see naturally, what we hear naturally. When Adam sinned, what happened? His spiritual eyes were closed and the natural eyes were opened. When he lost the fellowship and the spirit withdrew, immediately he became carnal. He saw his nakedness and became to feel ashamed and ran away from God because his natural eyes were open and they reasoned carnally. But before, he was naked. He wasn't ashamed of it. Because the Spirit of God was there. So what we want to say, there are two dimensions to life. Natural life and
spiritual.
That's what Jesus said. Let's go to John chapter 3 from verse 5 and verse 6. Let's listen to the words of Jesus Christ.
John 3 from verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit."
Now, clearly Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus clearly stated the two types of human being. The man born of the flesh, carnally minded, led by his senses, and the man born of the Spirit, born again, recreated spirit. That's what the Lord has come to do, to restore the relationship and fellowship between God and man through the Spirit of Father. The question is, how life is manifested in us? Life is manifested through our conscience. I repeat again, the life of God, the life from the Spirit is manifested through our conscience, our heart. What's the meaning of that? The Word of God is the Word of life. It's the seed of divine life that comes into my heart through my conscience and brings eternal life to me.
And causes faith to grow.
Yes, that's the life of faith. Means I must have revelation through my conscience. When I understand, when faith comes, life is manifested. And by faith, you can speak the word of faith, it comes to pass. You pray and God hears. When Peter said to the man, "Silver and gold I do not have. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." What did Peter receive? He received the Holy Ghost and the power of eternity to call the name of Jesus, and life began to flow from him. That's why Jesus said, "He who believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from his spirit, rivers of life. You will give life to others." That's why he asked them, "Tarry in Jerusalem till the Holy Ghost come. And then you will witness with words of life." Words of life. Words of life. Words of life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life. The letter profits for
nothing,
but the spirit gives life." Oh my God.
So that's what it means when we say the Holy Spirit is the giver of all life.
Yes.
Because he injects life into the word. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no life in the word. Without the Holy Spirit, it's just words on the written page that we can memorize, that we can quote, that we can read naturally. But for that word to become spirit and life, it needs to be affected by the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to give you three examples in the Old Testament and in the New Testament of a man who is carnal and a man who is a living being. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. I take that case because everybody knows this was a good example. The case between Saul and Prophet Samuel. Israel woke up on the morning and said to God, "We don't want God to lead us. We want to have our king like other nation." God said, "Okay."
They were comparing themselves to other nations.
Thank you. Means they want the power of man, no longer the power of God. So God said, "Okay, what you want? I will give you." They pester God to give them what they wanted. God chose the tallest, the most handsome, Saul of Kish.
1 Samuel 9.
Yes. Let's start from verse 6.
And he said to them, "Look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man?
Stop. The servant say, in this man, there is a man, an honorable man, the Colossian. Whatever he says come to pass. And Saul say, what can we give to him? Why he asked that question? Saul was not a spiritual person. He was a carnally minded. He was thinking he's going to see a witch doctor.
That something that will be transactional, to give him something, to receive something favorable in return.
Have you ever seen a witch doctor that does things freely?
No.
They want you to sacrifice and give them money. Mm. We call it the reward of the diviner. They do divination. Mm. Hold this one and go to Numbers 22, verse 7. When they send people to Balaam and ask Balaam, Balak, give him money, go and curse Israel for me. So, witch doctor, they can only curse with their mouth. They cannot give life. The Bible says, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
The tongue, yeah. That's what James said.
That's exactly. Mm. They speak death. They cannot give life. They can curse, they cannot bless. They can destroy, they cannot repair. And they can never give you freely. So, Numbers 22, verse 7. What did they say when they came to Balaam?
So the elders of Moab and elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand.
Money.
And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lodge here tonight and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt and they cover the face of the earth. Come now and curse them for me.
Come and curse them. Can't you imagine that? A servant of God, a child of God, a servant of the Most High God never curses. It brings life. Mm. But this man say, go to the witch doctor and curse this person. Mm. I give you money, curse the person. That's the spirit of Satan for you. How Balaam was able to speak those words, he has a spirit of divination, which is not the spirit of God, the spirit of Satan. And Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That is destruction, to curse somebody. Somebody's innocent, begin to receive curse, attack. Simply because that person, you pay money to express the will of a man to destroy somebody. To express the mind of Satan to destroy somebody. But the spirit of God is here to give life. The gift of Jesus is to give life to people. Forgiveness, salvation, eternal life, freely, without paying any single money. Let's go back to the verse we were before.
1 Samuel 9.
Yes. So Saul was carnal. So it didn't make any difference for him whether this man is a man of God or this man is a witch doctor. He just wants to pay money. Why? Because Saul was spiritually dead. He was the carnally minded person. So how God say, I want to choose this man? But Saul was absolutely ignorant that God wanted to make him a king. He was looking for donkey. God used his power. He used the donkey and lead this man like a blind person, using circumstances to lead him to Samuel. Let's go to verse 15. Verse 15, what God said before. Verse 15.
Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people,
oh my
Israel.
God said to Samuel, Samuel was a spiritual man. God said, because he has the Holy Spirit, he will receive inspiration and revelation from God. God revealed to him the day before, that tomorrow at this time, I will bring this man to you. How did God bring the person who has no relationship with God? That's the question I was asking. God said, I will bring this man to you. And the man has no relationship with God. There's nothing God created that he cannot command, that he cannot control, that he cannot instruct.
That means whether you believe in God or not, God is still in charge of the circumstances around you.
Absolutely.
So God can move things for you to actually meet the people you're supposed to meet, to bring you to him.
That's God for you. That is his power. Mm. Saul was blind. Go to Isaiah chapter 42, I think verse 16. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. Just keep this page open. We are coming back. How can God lead a man who is carnally minded, who is dead? Can that man have a relationship with God? Not in spirit and in truth, but God can still use that man. That's the power of God.
I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight.
You hear what God say? I will lead the blind in the way they did not know.
So at that point, Saul was blind. He didn't know absolutely that God was leading him to Samuel.
Because he never knew the purpose. He was only seeing donkey. Mm. But behind that donkey, there's a spiritual event. God wanted to make him king. Mm. The only way to bring this man to God is to create a situation. There's an unseen hand of God in every situation to move us to where he wants you to be. Even though the man has no relationship with God. This means somebody can be filled with the Holy Ghost to do something. We had no awareness. Samuel has awareness. He knew the mind of God, that this is what God wants. This is what God says about the situation. That's a spiritually minded person. That's what we call genuine relationship, a living being, a living person. If you are born again and we have the Holy Spirit, you will begin to live in the Spirit to receive revelation and to walk in the Spirit by faith. You will never walk in blindness. Whatever happens, you will know the will of God, the purpose of God, why God is saying this to you. While Saul was completely blind to the spiritual cause, why the donkey was lost. They were not lost. What happened when he met Samuel? Let's go to verse 18 and 19. When they came face to face.
Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house?
Where is the seer's house? Where is the witch doctor's house? He doesn't know who the prophet means.
Mm-hmm. Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Mm-hmm. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart.
I will tell you all that is in your heart. I will tell you directly revelation in your heart. That's what he said. Continue.
But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found.
Who told Samuel without even the man paying him money and telling him to sacrifice, without making any sacrifice like Balaam would have done to invoke demon to give him revelation? Samuel spoke the word of prophecy, the word of life, and tell him the secrets of heart. The donkeys that were lost 2 days ago, how we know they were lost 2 days ago, they are found. He was able to reveal to him the purpose why he came. That the donkey was found 2 days. That's what Samuel said. He's a spiritual person. God will reveal you everything. The eyes of faith will be open. You will have dream and revelation as Samuel had. While the other person is completely blind to the circumstances of life. When something happens, we panic. When something happens, we use manpower. But a spiritual man, whatever happens, he will sit back. Inquire from God and God will answer. We don't do sacrifice to demon. We call the name of God. We inquire from Jesus and the word comes by the Holy Spirit and will tell you what's the mind of God. And then you will walk in faith. What happened to Samuel is what God wants everybody to have. That's why Jesus came and said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Jesus comes to make you a spiritual person. Who is the other man I want to take? Let's go to Paul. The greatest example we have in the Bible is Paul, Apostle Paul. Like Saul, they had the same name. He was Saul before. He was a carnally minded person. He was carnal and he was a theologist. He learned the law of Moses by heart. He was part of the Pharisees. But he was carnal. He couldn't understand who Jesus was. He fought the way because what he learned from Moses, that was his standard. But Jesus came to do something new. So he began to persecute Christians. Killing some, putting them to prison, forcing them to blaspheme, fighting for God. That's what he did with a mighty zeal. Until one day, on the way to Damascus, Jesus Christ himself revealed himself to him. The light came. He became blind 3 days, but in the spirit he saw. This is what Jesus meant when he said in John chapter 9, for two judgments I have come on earth, that the blind may see. But those who say they see will remain blind. What's the meaning of that? If I say I know the truth and I don't know the truth, I will remain in darkness forever. But if I come to God and say, Lord, I know nothing. Help me. I want to see. I want you to know the truth that man Bartimaeus said, Jesus will open your eyes and you will see in humility. When God came, the natural eyes of Saul was blind for 3 days, he could not see. But his spiritual eyes saw Jesus by revelation. The Lord said to him, go to that street. You shall be told you what to do. And he went, and Ananias prayed for him. Holy Spirit came. And the carnal minded became spiritually minded. A complete change of life and focus. He began to hear from God. He began to see from God. Ignorance disappeared. Darkness disappeared. He began to be a living being. He was once dead, but now he's alive.
Are you dead or are you awake in Christ? Are you sleeping spiritually or are you awake? Are you alive in Christ? That's the question.
No, that's Saul. What you said now, he's giving encouragement to every person, including me talking to you. Let's go to see in Romans chapter 7 from verse 23. Let's listen to Paul, Saul who became Paul. Now he's advising all believers today, you and I, that the Holy Spirit is a giver of all life. The Holy Ghost, the only means of life, of growth, is the Holy Spirit. No Holy Spirit, no eternal life. No Holy Spirit, no revelation. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. Let's listen to what Paul said.
But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
Who will deliver me from this body of death?
I thank God through Jesus Christ,
thank
our
God
Lord.
For Jesus Christ.
So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
So, Romans chapter 8, verse 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
The law of the Spirit of life. Take note. The law of the Spirit of life. Continue.
In Christ Jesus.
Has
made me free.
Oh my God.
From the law of sin and death.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Every word is important in this statement. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Meaning when the Holy Spirit comes, revival come, newness of life come, the gift of righteousness come through Christ. Christ becomes your life. He imparts the life of Jesus in you. That life is eternal life. That life is the life of the Spirit. You begin to see in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit as Jesus would have done. You become like him in the gift of righteousness. Means you begin to walk in the Spirit. Means the best antidote against sin, the best antidote against the poison of sin is to walk in the Spirit. Why? The Holy Ghost will lead you to the right path. He will give you a revelation to the mind of God. You will know the will of God. You will know the way to take, where to go. He will guide you. He will lead you perfectly to the right direction, to the right place. He's a giver of all life. So, now, go to verse 5. The same Romans, chapter 8. Paul is explaining to us.
For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
That is it. You see, those who live according to the flesh set their mind, their attention, their focus on the things of the earth. But those who are spiritual set their mind on the things that are from heaven, on the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit, no carnally minded can know. It needs to be discerned spiritually. That's why I say to be carnally minded is sin and death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's continue. Why Paul said that? Let's go.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be.
Why? So, I mean, the carnal mind cannot walk in the Spirit. The carnal man cannot receive from the Holy Ghost. The carnal man cannot see. That's why Jesus said, I will pray to the Father. He will give you another comforter, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because he neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He will be with you forever. Continue reading.
So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
If I walk in the flesh, I can never please God. Hebrews 11:5, only faith pleases God. What does it mean? I can't be in the flesh and live in faith. Faith is spiritual. You have to be in the spirit and in truth to live in faith. That's the meaning of that. We don't walk by sight. We walk by revelation. We walk by faith. The eyes of your faith must be opened by the Holy Ghost to see the direction where God wants you to go and to hear from him and to obey with your heart. Let's continue reading.
But you are not in the flesh, but Hallelujah. In the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you.
That's the key. You are no longer in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. If the spirit of
God
dwells in you. That's the key.
It's not by might. It's not by power. By my spirit, says the Lord.
Zechariah 4:6. What's the meaning of the song you sing? I mean, human spirit fails unless it's filled by the Holy Spirit. This mountain shall be removed in Jesus' name.
This mountain has been removed.
By my spirit, says the Lord. When Jesus says, talk to this mountain, go to the sea, it's not you, the Holy Ghost, that moved the mountain. The mountain be moved by my spirit. Your sickness will be removed by the Spirit of God. Your trouble will be removed by the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit will do that one. Continue reading.
Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his.
You hear that? If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Jesus. Let me reformulate it. If anyone does not have the Holy Spirit, he is not a Christian. That's the meaning. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Jesus, he does not belong to Jesus. That's why at the last day, he will look at your heart to see whether the Spirit of God dwells in you. They will say, I don't know you. This is the heart of the matter of the gospel. To receive eternal life is to receive the Holy Ghost, to impart the life of Christ in you by the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost in you, and you become spiritual by the Spirit. Means spiritual growth is a function of obedience to the Holy Spirit. The only means of growth is to have the Holy Ghost. So if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, does not belong to Christ. Verse 10.
And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness.
What's the meaning of that? If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. What's the meaning of that? Though you have Christ in you, through the person of the Holy Ghost, mean when we accept Jesus Christ genuinely, we have the very presence of God, the Holy Ghost, in our heart. Through the person of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling presence. But the scripture says, just read, if Christ is in you, if Holy Ghost is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of
righteousness.
Righteousness. Righteousness points to life. God's kind of lifestyle is righteousness. And righteousness is the coming of the Holy Ghost to give you life. He imparts the life of Christ in us at the point of salvation. So it means this body we carry is the body of death. The redemption we receive, the salvation, is not spirit. We are redeemed spiritually. Our soul is saved. But this body is the body of death. We go back to the dust, whether we like it or not. But the promise we have, another body will be given to us here. Over there. Means sin is powerful in the flesh, but not in the spirit. If you are a spiritual man, to overcome this flesh, to overcome sin, you need the power of the Holy Ghost to say no to sin. When the Holy Ghost comes spiritually, it will strengthen you to show you the truth, because Satan is a liar and a deceiver. He deceived Adam and Eve to take the fruit, telling that God said you will not die. God never meant physical death. God meant spiritual death. God's word was true, but Satan is a liar. He disguises himself as agent of light. That's what the Bible says. He will show something, it is good. It looks good. It's not good. It looks like light. It is darkness. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, He will never deceive you. The Holy Ghost will lead you into the fullness of the truth, and you will overcome it.
And that's actually the greatest miracle, isn't it? That
yes.
God who created us, who breathed the breath of life into us, now dwells within us.
Absolutely.
That's the greatest miracle.
Verse 13. Let's go to verse 13 and 14 and 16, and we close this chapter.
For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Mm-hmm. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
That means no one can say no to sin, no to unrighteousness without the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. By the Spirit, you put to death all the evil deeds of the flesh. We overcome by the Spirit of God, the overcoming Spirit. Mm-hmm. Verse 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
If I'm led by the Holy Ghost, I'm a son of God. I have eternal life. I have the Spirit of truth. I walk in righteousness. I walk in fellowship with God every single day of my life. The Holy Ghost is the giver of all life. Inspiration will come. Revelation will come. Life will come from you. When you pray, God will hear. When you intercede for somebody, God hears your prayer. When you pray led by the Holy Ghost, the person will be healed. When you pray led by the Holy Ghost, there will be result. When the Holy Ghost leads you, He will lead you to the right place where people are ready to receive you. Mm. You can never walk in darkness. Never, ever.
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
You hear that? Adopted. You are adopted.
Oh, spiritually. God.
Mean God gave him His spirit. The promise God to Abraham, the promise of the Holy Ghost is the promise of Abraham. Mm. You are adopted. You become a son of God, a child of God, born again. How? Why do we say adopted? Because we receive the Spirit as a deposit. We become like Christ, like God. We become born again. We have the Spirit of God. God become our Father. The Spirit helps us say Abba, Father, naturally. That's the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know. I don't know any other gospel. The gospel is to restore the relationship and fellowship between man and God. Mm. We are all from darkness. Jesus came to bring light. We are all sinners. Jesus came to break the wall of sin and reconcile you to God and give you newness of life. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. If the spirit is dead, Jesus came to raise your spirit from the dead, give you newness of life and make you born again. Soul was dead and it became spiritual. So Jesus came to change you immediately. Spirit and soul with a new heart, with a new life, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we can see the importance of the Holy Ghost in our life. That's why the Bible says, the first place we need to prosper is in our spiritual life. Spiritual life is the leading of the Spirit. God makes you spiritual. Make your mind spiritual. That's the work of Holy Spirit. We'll continue this message next time.
So when we inhale the breath of the Spirit of God, it's only then that we're able to exhale and express the power of God through His Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to bring peace, to bring joy, to bring transformation, to bring solution. Mm. But it's the Holy Spirit that will use the Word of God as an instrument to do that.
That is it. Meditate. Breathe in the life of Christ. When you pray, we take in the life of Christ. And we give out the life of Christ. Mm. When you meditate, life comes. When you pray for others, life comes out of you. When you go somewhere and you speak to preach or to teach, people's hearts are burning because the fire is coming from your mouth. You are not the one talking. Holy Spirit is talking through you. Words become God's word when they're affected by Holy Ghost with life.
So you can only express and speak words of life if you've inhaled life within you first.
That is it. Take in the word of God in your life and allow the Holy Ghost to use you to express that word. Inspiration, expression. Thank you. Holy Ghost, you can see the importance of Holy Spirit. It's a foundation. Mm. It's a bedrock of everything. That's the greatest promise of Jesus in our lives. We need to be born again. That's the central truth of the gospel of Jesus. Life eternal. When the Holy Ghost comes, eternal life starts here. You don't need to die physically. You have eternal life here already. You are connected to God right from the earth. Heaven, right from the earth. You begin to walk here, led by the Spirit. Thank you. God bless you. Stay in the truth of the gospel.
So every time you inhale and exhale, every time you breathe, I mean, we're not normally conscious of our breathing, but if you take a moment to just breathe in and out consciously, remember the importance of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is the giver of all life. Many people are walking around. They exist as human beings, but are they alive? Don't become one of them, just moving around without a purpose or a true divine goal in this life.
Thank you.
So God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us in today's message, all about the Holy Spirit being the giver of life.
I want to say something, yeah? It's a giver of life. Look, this message we receive, we share with you freely. Please treasure the word of God if you want the Holy Spirit in your life. This is the universe of God. Somebody asking me, how do you get back? You watch this message. Have you subscribed to this channel? When you subscribe to the channel, you become a student of the universe of God. God will look at you and know you. And treasure this message, meditate on it, and apply it in your life, and you will see. God will look at you.
Amen. And if you want to go deeper, then you subscribe to our app, the University of God app. That's what it means to be a student of the UOG. Are you a student? Are you sat in the back of the classroom or at the front? Are you sat right at the front where you want to hear every word from the teacher? Make sure you join our app, join the Household of Faith. You can download it on Google Play or on the App Store and just subscribe. Follow the steps there to subscribe. Remember, that's just to help maintain the app. We're giving it to you freely, that small amount each month. I think it's just $5. That's just to maintain the app. It's for the company who maintain the app so that you can watch all our content and exclusive content to bless your spiritual life. So please don't miss out. As a student of the University of God, make sure you're deeper and deepest in your walk with God. And yes, if you haven't yet subscribed to the University of God YouTube channel, make sure you do that now. Click the subscribe button, and that means you'll always be notified of any new video that comes out. God bless you.
Next week, we continue. In Jesus' name.